From KCRW, I'm Evan Kleiman, and you're listening to Good Food. If the phrase new year, new you sounds trite to you, then perhaps the mushroom can offer some inspiration. With the ability to stay dormant for years and then resurrecting themselves with reinvention, mushrooms just might be the share of the natural world. We all know certain mushrooms can expand our consciousness, but journalist and academic Simran Sethi wants us to expand our minds when it comes to culinary mushrooms too. She recently curated a three-part virtual series for the Museum of Food and Drink called Fruiting Bodies, an exploration of mushrooms through a decolonial lens. Hi, Simran.
Hi, Evan.
I'm so happy you're back.
Me too. It's so good to connect with you.
You always have something so interesting in your purview. Who are your guest experts in the three-part series?
The guest experts in the series are Giuliana Forci, who is the founder of Fungi Foundation. She's a mycologist and an activist, and is also the co-chair of the International Union for Conservation of Nature on the Fungal Conservation Committee. And then the second talk that we did was with a senior mycologist, Jennifer Doe, who is also the co-founder of Forage Mushrooms in Canada. And we got a chance to talk about Asian history and culture as it relates to mushrooms. And our final conversation is with Indigenous food activist and chef Carlos Baca, talking about the connection of mushrooms to Indigenous cultures and the impact of colonization on the first foods.
When we first met, it was on the occasion of your book, Bread, Wine, and Chocolate, The Slow Loss of Foods We Love. Are mushrooms too at risk of reduced biodiversity, or are they kind of the cockroaches of terra firma, so to speak?
So before I answer that, you might wonder, what is the bridge, Simran? How did you get from, you know, talking about agricultural biodiversity to kind of going deep on mushrooms? And it really is like, I think of MFK Fisher talking about, you know, exploring many hungers. So I'm going sort of from the biocultural diversity of foods into those of earth medicines. So biodiversity, to answer your question, is an even greater concern now, you know, along with the climate crisis. This is one of the most destabilizing situations we've ever found ourselves in, not only for food and agriculture, but for life on earth. I think it's interesting that you brought up the cockroach, which is universally, you know, disgusted. But I've really been spending time thinking about insect and plant and microbial intelligence. And, you know, we have such hubris that we are this evolved life, but it goes back to what you said about the cockroach. Like, are fungi going to be here when we're not? And the answer is they're both compromised in certain situations. And in other ways, you know, they have survived. Fungi have survived all of five mass extinctions. And they can really like lead the way and show us, humanity, how to ensure that we don't face a sixth extinction. But the challenge is we've given them very little consideration. You know, even the series is called Fruiting Bodies, and that's what we think about. That's the, you know, that's the mushroom, right, that we talk about. It's really just a portion of this, you know, vast mycelial network, right? We see the stalk, the cap, and the gills, and we think, there it is, that's the whole thing. But there is a root-like structure that's called the mycelium, what's underground, what is unseen, that is what connects all life. So I think there's just like such great resonance to the book and recognizing that, you know, in the United States alone, like there are an estimated like almost 30,000 microfungi, and then another like 10,000 species of macrofungi. Again, like the ones that we really, really pay attention to. But they're not listed on any lists of endangered species. They're not something that we're paying attention to. But if we start to see them as a substance, you know, as a living being that helps connect all life, then it's something we should really pay attention to. And I'll give one example here. Like there's you know, air pollution has increased everywhere, but we're learning more and more that the air pollution in Western Europe, you know, specifically, is connected to symbiotic fungi, and that acts as like an extension of trees' root systems. It absorbs, the fungi absorbs, I should say they, absorb the minerals that the trees need for growth. And so when we lose the fungi as a result of air pollution, we lose the trees. And in this instance, it's been the death of millions of trees. So I guess for me, fungi remind us that everything is connected. And if we're going to lose something in one place, it's definitely going to compromise something somewhere else.
Can you explain the notion of holding death as a beginning rather than an end and how it relates to the properties of mushrooms?
Absolutely. And I love that you mentioned this. This, you know, was part of the conversation that I had with Giuliana Furci, and she talks about this idea of death as the beginning. The mushroom is a symbol of connection and restoration, and they are birthed from rot, like from rotting leaves and trees, from, you know, decomposing things, right? And so they are a perfect representation of the end being the beginning. And I like to, again, I mean, like, it's not too far of a stretch because we humans share about 50% of our DNA with fungi. But I like to really, again, map this onto everything that we know and everything that happens in our human lives, that, you know, when one thing ends, another thing will be born out of that and will begin.
So you mentioned at the beginning, this connection between Asia and mushrooms. How does the contemporary use of mushrooms in one part of the world threaten their vitality in other areas?
I think it's, again, the remembering that there is a connection here. One of the things that is interesting to look at, and I'm using the word interesting in air quotes, is this idea that, like, adaptogenic mushrooms, you know, these like mushrooms, it's like a shroom boom, right? Like we're seeing like all these teas, all these tinctures, all these powders just popping up, you know, and everybody wants to learn all the things about all the mushrooms now. But this is not new. This is something that has been going on for centuries. You know, 200 BC, the wood ear fungus, you know, if you go to any Chinatown anywhere in the world, much less, of course, if you go to China, you will see markets full of fungi. It's remarkable, including, you know, so about 10% of fungi are mushrooms, right? Including mushrooms. And they're used for medicines. They're used for food. You know, there's this beautiful Chinese proverb that kind of weaves them together and says medicine and food share a common origin. And they are woven through the culture. So what's interesting now is to sort of see, you know, people in the West discovering mushrooms without that sort of historical acknowledgement. But then we also see, you know, a sort of a tension because when we look at globalization, and again, this is not unique to the mushroom. This is something we see with food all over the world. When we start to look at trade agreements, when we start to look at subsidies, when we start to look at labor costs, all of a sudden, if you want to, I'm making this up on the fly, but source mushrooms that were, you know, harvested locally in your community. You might go to a farmer's market or to the grocery store and see, you know, a certain price point on them. And then you'll see ones that have been shipped from halfway across the world that are significantly less expensive, right? So the threat, I think, comes in that form of like the market forces that sort of distort prices and make it harder sometimes for us to make decisions that might, you know, support the places that we're in versus places that are farther away.
It's so interesting because it is as if they devalue the product because it's disconnected from story.
Absolutely. Just in the same way as we know, we have talked about, you and me, we devalue the labor when it's disconnected, right? Whatever is erased is not considered. So the history, a place, a people disappears. And I think the mushroom is such an extraordinary symbol of, like, there's so much that lies beneath what it is that you see.
How were mushrooms used by indigenous cultures? And as with the Asian story, how did colonization impact their availability and use?
Well, you know, it's interesting. This is the conversation that I'm most humbled by. You know, Carlos Baca is an indigenous foods activist from the Southern Ute Nation, and he's the founder of Taste of Native Cuisine. And he talks so much about mushrooms not as a resource and asks the question, like, what are we doing for the mushrooms? You know, Carlos has been collecting mushrooms since he was 14 and has harvested like hundreds and hundreds of them. And what he talks about is mushroom, like this mushroom as trend kind of being another example of cultural misappropriation. So 500 plus years of, you know, continuous harvesting of mushrooms and connection with mushrooms here in North America, what we call Turtle Island, what we call the United States. And that is kind of erased when we see like newfangled folks coming in and saying like, oh, look at what I just discovered. Look at what I'm all of a sudden doing. So what folks like Baca and Doe and, you know, Furchi sort of really want to impress upon us all is that like by looking at the mushroom and how we relate to the mushroom, whether it's medicinally, you know, through food, through even altered, you know, extraordinary experiences, if there's psychedelic mushrooms, that there's a way to kind of re-see the world and re-see our connections to it.
You know, I feel so honored to have been able to be witness to your journey. It's just, it's very inspiring. So thank you so much, Simran.
Evan, thank you. Thank you.
That's Simran Sethi. We've been talking about her series, Fruiting Bodies, an exploration of mushrooms through a decolonial lens. All three of her talks are archived on the Museum of Food and Drink's YouTube channel. We've got links at our website, kcrw.com/goodfood. Coming up, the fungi continues. We've got a lot of ideas for how to cook with mushrooms next.